We're in lesson 43 in the book of Ephesians. And last lesson, if you think about it, we was looking at some sign gifts that was pertaining to the nation Israel and the gifts that God has given for us today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Wherefore he hath, when he hath ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." If you notice when we did that comparison with this verse and the verses in Corinthians, those sign gifts are not there. The tongues, the miracles, the healings, the helps, the government, that's one group. But the apostles and prophets and teachers of Corinthians are still there. So that should tell you something in the fact that the book of Ephesians is one of the last books that he's written to understand the Word of God is not completed yet, but those sign gifts are done away with. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now the word apostle, we touched on it very little last week. A word apostle means what? Sent one. Someone who sent one. Lord Jesus Christ, we know for a fact, sent the 12 out in his earthly ministry. Is that not correct? And we know that apostles, you know, sometimes in my early Bible years, apostles, you automatically meant the 12. You ever think about that? The 12 apostles, the earthly ministries. And here are apostles who are sent ones, but evidently these are not the 12 that Paul is talking about that. So you have to rightly divide the word of truth to understand apostles don't automatically mean the 12, but they mean something else that we're going to look at. Here the apostles are sent ones. Some people believe that it is the 12, like I just said, but it's not. These are not the 12. They are given as apostles after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember we showed about he ascended into heaven, which heavens, that was the first and second. That's where Stephen saw him, okay, that type of thing. Then, according to Apostle Paul, he ascended far above all heavens. Now he's above it all. And this is where he gave the apostles and prophets. The 12 were ordained apostles prior to ascension. And these are apostles that are given afterwards that Paul's talking about here. The 12 apostles, as we know, are going to sit on what? 12 thrones, judging what? 12 tribes. That's according to Matthew chapter 12. So they have a position. But Paul is one apostle for the body of Christ. We always talk about when we contrast the 12 versus 1. 12, the 12 tribes of Israel. 1, Apostle Paul, the body of Christ. But it says apostles, doesn't it? So is that singular or plural? Plural. So that means what?
More than one.
There's more than one. But there's also a number of apostles that associated with Apostle Paul here. Hold your finger there and go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Go back a book. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 11 says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after what? Man." So he did not receive this from man. So if an apostle sent you out, I'll hold off on that. But verse 18, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." You see that? Okay. Now tell me something. Was James the Lord's brother? Did you not just read that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not the James that wrote the book of James. That's not the Lord's brother. James that wrote the book of James got his head cut off. He died. In Acts 15, if I'm not mistaken. So, the Lord's brother, was he one of the 12 apostles?
No.
No. You with me? Okay. But this indicates, the verse indicates that he was an apostle. Okay. Other of the apostles saw none except James. That would indicate James is an apostle, wouldn't it? Okay. Now, he is not one of the 12, yet he's an apostle. This is an apostle, what we call as a secondary apostle. Okay? There's some that was sent directly by Jesus Christ, and then there's some that was sent after that. And in other words, he is not one of the group, the 12, but he still is an apostle. He's still sent out. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This, what we're going over, I hope it don't confuse you, but it may help you and understand there's more apostles than just those 12 that I was trying to share with. And what it meant to be apostle.
He mentioned in here pastors.
Yeah. We ain't got there yet. We're on apostles and prophets. You hang on. There, brother.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it's necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldiers, but your messenger and he that minister to my wants. That word messenger in the verse is the same translated as apostle. Okay? Apollos, remember him? You know who he is? Was an apostle from the Philippians. He was one that was sent to Paul for them, and the word apostle can be used like that. Now, once again, what I'm showing to you is some different ways you use apostle and what it meant for. But the association with the kingdom program, that's what he was associated with, apostle was, Apollos. But it can be also used as a secondary use, like James, the Lord's brother. Paul is one apostle, isn't he? For the body of Christ, but yet there was other apostles associated with him and was sent out to represent Christ in their official capacity. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 14. Let's look at this. Show you one of them.
Acts 14?
Yes, sir. Acts 14. We have to get this apostles and prophets and evangelism and pastors and teachers down and what God is doing today. Now, I know that a lot of churches out there, they still have apostles, don't they?
Yeah.
Or at least they call it that way. They still have prophets. I'll never forget the time I went down there at Berlin. I walked in that little flea market type of thing, and I'm looking for Bibles, old Bibles, and red letters. And I wanted, my Bible don't have red letters. The guy that put this Bible together, it was 20 years after he died, because he believed all the words were the Word of God, all the words were from the Lord Jesus Christ, not just red letters. So he was down there, I was looking at a Bible, and the guy was Amish and all, and he goes, "Oh, you should have met our prophet Abraham. You know, they have prophets and stuff." I said, "Yeah, really?" He said, "Yeah, but he took the bus to Florida. You know, and he said he just didn't fly because the word says, 'Lo am I.'" You know, so he was given a joke, and I said, "Lo am I?" I said, "You know what that means?" He goes, "No, what?" I said, "It means not my people." When Israel fallen, Hosea, Amos, and all that had children. One of them was called Lo-Am. He said, "Call them Lo-Ami, which means not my people." And he didn't know what to think then. But what I'm getting at is he had a prophet. That religion had a prophet there. But look, where did I say turn? Acts 14. You'll see that Barnabas is an apostle. Look at verse 14. "Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes." You see who the apostles was?
Barnabas.
Now, did the Lord send him out? He's not one of the 12, is he? But yeah, he's a what? So that word sent out. Turn with me. We're doing a lot of scripture turning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians. Right before 2 Thessalonians.
Thanks.
You're welcome. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, that's Silas, by the way, and Timotheus, that's Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God. Okay, who writes the book of Thessalonians? Okay, and the greeting comes from who? Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Okay, look at verse 6. And ye become followers of us. Now, who is us?
Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy.
All right, awesome. Okay, chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God. Now, verse 1, for you, yourself, brethren, know our interests unto you, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. He is talking about the group of them. Okay, not just Paul. We know Paul's an apostle, right? Talking about the group. Now look at verse 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might be have been burdensome as the what? Apostles of Christ. Then Paul considers Silas and Timothy as what? Apostles. Sent ones. Just as Barnabas considered as apostle, so is Silas and Timothy is considered apostles. And they're apostles in a secondary sense, that they was yet sent out an apostle, apostleship as a secondary apostleship. You with me? That's why I believe today, when you think about churches has apostles, all Apostle Leon's come about today. You know? And they're like, whoa, man. You know, he's sent from God. That type of thing. You know, they stress that, don't they? And all. But it's true of Apollos, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Does this seem like a while since we've turned some pages? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Now he's talking about who? Paul and who? Apollos, okay? Verse 9. For I think that God has sent forth us, that's a who?
Paul
and Apollos. Verse 9, right? Mm-hmm. As it is appointed to death, for we are made a speculator, has sent forth us the apostles what?
Last.
He is talking about himself and his companions in labor there, guys. He identifies Apollos and he calls them all collectively apostles. So everybody he's talking about in there, he calls them apostles. Now the apostleship is a secondary sense. I can't keep stressing that. Because that has helped me understand he's not talking about the 12 that everybody wants to magnify and lift up when they talk about apostles. You know, today we talk about dispensational truths. Today, a lot of people don't recognize Paul and his authority, that God Almighty, the risen Lord and Savior, gives him authority to go to the body of Christ as the apostle. Would John the Baptist be apostle?
Yes.
Wouldn't he? Didn't God send him?
Mm-hmm.
a man sent from God. So he, yeah, but you don't see it written that way, do you? But he is has authority and all. Well, we're just trying to show when it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the apostles that are plural, it shouldn't be a problem. And you got to watch how you say, okay, he's talking about the 12. Now the 12 are going into the body of Christ. See how easy that is when he says again apostles? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There's Paul as the apostle, and yet the apostles in a secondary sense. An apostle is a communication gift. Remember those gifts that we identified last week? And how apostles and prophets and teachers are a communication gift to communicate the Word of God? See, it's not a sign gift. Those are not there in that passage, guys. That should tell us something, and that should help other people when we're sharing it. Hey, the gifts stop. Because doesn't in Corinthians it talks about prophecy, they cease, tongues, they'll be cut off, that type of thing? It's a gift, has authority in every assembly wherever it goes. When they sent out the apostles, and they went out in that secondary, they had authority, and wherever it goes, and wherever Paul would send one of these people out, one of them would go, by the way. That's how these churches got established. And those people had special authority because of that office of apostleship, that communication gift. And that they were not just anybody else walking in and saying, hey, this is who I am. I got a special position, authority. They knew they was apostles by that office. And he gave some prophets. Okay? Now, obviously, what kind of prophets are talking about here? Preaching prophets, or would you say, or let me ask you this, were they Old Testament prophets or the New Testament prophets? Okay, amen. They're New Testament prophets because they're not Old Testament prophets here. Look at Acts 13 again. Acts 13. Acts 13. John Acts. Acts 13. Would you consider Paul a prophet? Yeah, and Paul is one of them. In fact, Paul fills all of these offices that we're going to talk about here. You know what I mean? So he is the pattern.
He's the Pope.
Oh, Pope, I guess Papias or whatever. You know, look, he is the only man that functions in every one of these positions. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king, right? Mm-hmm. Right? He's not king yet, guys. You know that. Even though we call him King of Kings, amen? He is. We know what the final outcome is. But when he came to this earth, he was a prophet. Right now, when he died, he's a priest. He's making intercession for every one of us. Okay, he's the high priest. And when he comes back over in Hebrews and sits on the throne, he is the high priest. And then when he sits the millennium kingdom down, when it's all said and done and all that, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's three offices that he will hold, and one of them's yet to be fulfilled. But look at verse 1. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and was it Simeon? And look the last one on that list down there.
Verse
1. You know who that is, don't you?
Paul.
That's Paul. So a prophet was a man who had a very special function. A prophet was someone who identified what the Lord said, and he said, thus saith the Lord. With me? That's what prophets would do. They would identify, you had the word of God, thus saith the Lord, this is the word. And so Saul is one of those prophets. And they list several of them, didn't they? We know there was prophets that foretell and even foretell. They would foretell future and they foretell it. But look, we know, you know several of them, don't you? Daniel, he's a prophet, wasn't he? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They tell you something that's going to happen in the future. That's why when we read these books over here and study these books, it's not so much happening now. It's going to happen over here. Okay? They're foretelling the future. But you have Elijah and Elijah, they foretold some things. What's going to happen right now? You know, and then you had people like Hosea and Amos and Malachi. We would all consider them prophets, wouldn't we? So you really had different types of prophets. And some of them would foretell, foretell, if I'm pronouncing that right. I try to look up the definition of foretelling and foretelling. They really don't tell me in the Webster 1828. Other than, I think there is foretelling and talks about ahead of time, you're going to tell him. I can't tell you what's in your future for tomorrow. But I can foretell you today at 12:35, you're going to walk out of here and get in your car. I can tell you that much. Hopefully it's not by an ambulance. You know, I always tell people all the time, I say, hey, I can tell your future. Are you lost or saved? You know, and if they tell me they're lost, I said, you're going to go to hell. That's pretty bold, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know, you trust Christ died for your sins, buried or going, I can tell you where you're going to spend eternity. Am I a prophet? I'm foretelling and foretelling. So, so there's a lot of things that's going on in my mind, like apostles and prophets, you know, all this stuff. But think about this for a minute. Most of the prophets will do one or the other. But there is a thing here that where the prophets can prophesy, they can give revelations and communication, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and other ones later in part of Acts that prophesied Paul about he's going to be in bonds, he's going to be in afflictions, and they're waiting on him in Jerusalem and those kind of things. They was going on there when Paul was going on. And he lists some of the prophets. They're going to tell him ahead of time what is going to happen. So guess what that is? Foretelling. Okay? They're not prophesizing of an event that's going to happen right now or at that time. So the point is this. Basic function of a prophet is to identify the Word of God. This is what God is saying. And you know, I scratched my head about this. If you're a Bible believer and you have the Word of God, and somebody comes in with a corrupt version or not a version at all, shouldn't you be able to point out what saith the Scriptures and say that's not what God is doing or God's saying? I believe you can. But this is why Paul, in Paul's churches, he established these with these men and his special types of functions. A lot of things was happening back then, guys. You know that. A lot of things was changing from Israel's program to the body of Christ. So you need those apostles. You needed those prophets to identify what was right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 says, if you're not there, I'll read it to you. Maybe you should go there and see it for yourself.
1 Corinthians.
Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm not picking, choosing verses. If you stay with the context of what we're talking about, all this lines up. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Use this all the time. If any man think himself to be a what?
Prophet.
Prophet or spiritual. Are you spiritual today?
Yeah.
Well, they also was prophets, wasn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the man, that's a big verse right there. You know, if you really think about that, these people that don't want to give Paul's information or books credit, but they want to jump over at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, hey, this is where it's at. This is where it's at, guys, for the body of Christ. Now, You may make a few enemies with that verse. If you, I guess it all depends on how you present it, right? You're supposed to do it with love, that type of thing. But the prophet was to identify what God said, and he was able to identify the Word of God. That's the issue here. And when the Word of God came in a written form to that prophet, to that assembly of men, it had the capacity to identify the written Word, and they received it. Now let me ask you something. You have a completed Word of God right now. You know there's no other books can be added to this, correct? Mm-hmm. But you also know there's books out there that's written, like the Book of Enoch. Has anybody ever read that? Mm-hmm. Or looked through that? Have you? Okay. Do you have it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I borrow it?
Yeah.
Okay. If not, I'm going to download it, because I listen to these late night shows and they talk about extraterrestrial beings and all that stuff. And sometimes they mention the Book of Enoch describes giants and all that stuff. Well, you don't have the Book of Enoch in your Bible, do you? But they talk about the Enoch, the Book of Enoch. So if it came here today and somebody said this is the Word of God, just like we're talking about, 99.9% of us, if not, better be 100% of us, say, no, that's not the Word of God. So I can't help but thinking between Malachi Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. God did not speak, guys. He did not speak audibly like he did everywhere else. So what does that tell you? Whatever was written during that time is not considered the Word of God.
Right.
Another time period over here, Moses died. You know, he was 400 years of silence? 400 years of bondage down there in Israel.
Egypt.
Thank you. God didn't speak to him down there. But you know what books they had? They had the Book of Job. They had the Word of God down there to ensure them the patience of Job. And there my Redeemer liveth. And they believed that. You know, that's to me, God speaking through His Word and working through His Word. And they had the Word of God, but He wasn't speaking audible until after 400 years of silence, because He prophesied that you're going to go down there 400 years, 430 years, I think about what it really amounted to. But the thing here is this. Prophets or an assembly can identify the Word of God, and they're out there identifying it and saying, this is it. Now, this is going on in Paul's days, okay, when the church was getting established and stuff. And they're making copies of that and collecting them together and distributing. They're doing this. They're making copies, and they're doing this. And how do you reckon that Word got to those other assemblies? Official copies. But who sent them? If the prophets identified them as the Word of God, who took it?
Maybe the messengers.
And who? What's the other word for messengers?
Apostles.
There you go. Apostles. They would take it to Colossians. Thank you. From Ephesus. And then prophets get it. This is the Word of God. See? So it all worked together. These apostles would go from one assembly to the other and carry the copies of the Word of God that the prophets identified as the Word of God. See, a lot of people say, well, they didn't have the book of Ephesians and Colossians. I'm like, yeah, they did. And Thessalonians, how did you reckon they studied the Word of God? Now, they didn't have a completed Word of God like you and I had. They had copies. So they had copies of it, and those men would carry them out, and it would be the apostles. What kind of apostles, though?
Secondary apostles.
Thank you.
Dispensational
apostles. And, yeah, they was... Yeah, they was...
Apostles.
That type of thing. Well, even if they was a kingdom apostle that was around that time, they would still identify and send out what God was doing. You know what I mean? They had to have, you know, they had the Word of God. So Did the church in Laodicea, so I'm talking about, get a copy of the book of Ephesians? How did they do that? It wasn't just you and I getting a bunch of scripture together. It was an official document from that. And the originals of Ephesus and Colossae is compared with it. And they had original copies. And they received it from the prophets who identified it as the Word of God. Now, they didn't have the original one. It stayed there at that church. They took a copy of it. And then they took a copy and took copies. So where they had all these letters that Paul wrote in these different churches. And if you think about it, he identified it, he copied it, and he sent them out in the hand of an official representative like Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2. He had copy. He was a messenger. He had a copy of the letters. And you know, as you look through the book of Acts, that there's certain, like 19, 18, 16, there were certain time chapters where he wrote those letters to those churches when he was somebody else, somewhere else. These guys functioned like that, and many types of functions. Ephesians 4, verse 11. The prophets, we'll finish up this in just a second. Ephesians 4, 11. The prophets are identifying and foretelling and so on. They are active ministries. That's what's going on here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Hold your finger. 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We learned something here when we went through there. And are built upon the foundations of the what? Apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief what? Look at verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Are the apostles and prophets part of that foundation? They are. They are foundational gifts. You got communication, but they also foundational gifts that God gave. And once the foundation is laid, guys, their function and their job is finished. Once you lay that foundation for this building, and you start to put that cap plate on it, and you start building those floor joists and all that stuff, that's done. That foundation's finished. And for some of us, that was a glorious day, wasn't it? You know, to see that foundation up and taken care of. But there's no longer... So if it's finished and no longer in operation today as men, but rather we have a ministry of the written word of God. That's why you don't see apostles and prophets in a real grace church. We identify that the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is already taken care of. It's been completed. But in my mind, I'm going around like, okay, aren't you sent out? You know, God sent you out to do the work of the ministry. You know, aren't you a sent one? Apostle. Apostle Ed. Whoa. Prophet Ed. Whoa.
There's a real good reason not to be an apostle.
We're going to get to that in a little bit, because now we're going to shift to maybe not this lesson, but I do want to finish some things up right here. So they function, their ministry continues, but they are no apostles and prophets in a sense available today. Because once that foundation is laid by the Apostle Paul, do we lay any other foundation?
No,
we have the Word. We don't lay any...
Prophecy will cease.
So we have the Word of God, though.
Yeah.
See, we can identify that Word of God as the Word of God because the Holy Spirit convicts you. I am convinced that if I use Popular Mechanic Magazine as my Bible, it's not the Word of God. you know for a fact that insurance manual that you had to study every 2 years to take a test, it's not the Word of God. But by God, they give it to you as your Bible, don't they? And you better read it, you better study it, and they're going to test you out of it. That's their Bible. But it's not the Word of God. There's nobody who travels around the country having that kind of authority and different kinds of churches as they did back then. Paul would later address saints, bishops, and deacons in the book of Philippians. See? He don't address apostles and prophets. It's saints and bishops and deacons. And there isn't anybody around that can identify whether something is God's word or not. You know, if Apostle Leon was back there and we brought some stuff in, we'd go to Leon and say, hey, or Prophet Dan back there, we'd say, hey, is this the word of God? We don't have that no more. That's probably why there's thousands of versions out there, you know, and thousands of different churches out there. You can find a version for anything you want to believe or do, and you can say it's the Word of God. But we have a completed Word of God. And all that God says comes out of His book. And they are foundational gifts, but once again, once that foundation is laid, then their function and their ministry is over with, as far as those men are concerned. You know, this has helped me. Let me finish up here right quick. Ephesians, the time Ephesians was written, as we studied, the Word of God was not yet completed. And so these men continued to function. And the program with Israel was over. So all the other gifts, the sign gifts, was falling away, Israel gifts, but the foundation gifts for the body of Christ hadn't been yet completed. And they were not finished. Their function was not over with. But when we come back next lesson, we're going to look at evangelists, pastors, and teachers are left in operation today. Are left in operation today. And we're going to see what an evangelist really is. You know, Evangelist Walt's coming to town Sunday night. Everybody get ready. Get everybody in here. He's going to evangelize you. How many's been through those type of meetings? Yeah. But that's not what evangelist is. That's a revivalist. He's going to revive the dead that's in that church. And that, to me, I'm scratching my head like, wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to be live people in here? But, you know, we know what they're for. They just, you know, it's just titles, but it's misrepresented. And we're going to look at Ephesians, the latter part of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Any comments?
Are these the only ones left?
I believe so. As you look at that, evangelists, do we still need evangelists? Yes. What is he going to do? He's going to go out and what? Preach the gospel. Evangelize. Yeah, getting people saved. Pastors, I know you mentioned pastors. I believe this is a Jewish term. You know, because later on he don't address pastors no more. But they're there, and there's a certain office, a title that they have hold. Then teachers. Don't you need teachers? And as you think about these, I like to think that every one of us is in that position. Can you not go out and evangelize? Can you not go out and pastor? Can you not go out and teach? Yes. Don't beat yourself up saying you don't have these qualifications. Because you got enough in you right now knowing that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. He saved you. He set you aside. Your fellow heirs with the household of God. You know, you may not have a desire to be a bishop or a deacon or things like that. But the fact is this, those are functions and offices, but you're still a saint of the Most High God. And to God, that's very, very important. And as we continue to go through this, once again, it's like it's focusing on the corporate who we are and how we function as a local church. And we need those offices, you know, but it's not one of those, give me a funny hat and a wardrobe and look at me, you know, that type of thing, holier than thou. It's not that. It's to teach and all that. Any other questions? Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.